ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
As we're going to see, Laban is a man who is basically show me the money type of guy. He's in it for a profit. What can I get out of this, okay? I'm not interested in relationships here. I'm just in it for what can I gain from all that's going on here? And this is sounds like a good moneymaker to him. And God is going to use this man, Laban, to teach Jacob some valuable lessons that we're going to see. So here is Jacob. He's with Laban for 1 month. And look at what happens in verse 15. Then Laban said to Jacob, "Because you are my relative, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me, what should your wages be?" Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah. The name of the younger was Rachel. Leah's eyes were delicate, but Rachel's was beautiful of form and appearance. Now Jacob loved Rachel, and he said, "I will serve you 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter." And Laban said, "It is better that I give her to you than that I should give her to another man. Stay with me." So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed but a few days to him because of the love he had for her. So here's Laban. He's got two daughters, right? Neither of them are married. The older, Leah, it says her eyes were delicate. Some say she was blue-eyed instead of having the more acceptable brown eyes. Possible. And she wasn't married. But I think there's more to it because it says Rachel was beautiful. And so I don't think Leah was as beautiful as Rachel, and Jacob fell head over heels for Rachel. And instead of working for wages, he's going to work 7 years to marry Rachel. And they went by very quickly because he was in love. Now here's the thing. Like I said, Jacob came from a very wealthy family, okay? They had lots of sheep and stuff. And when he got to Laban's, what did he have? Nothing. Because he's on the run. So he had nothing, right? And he's going to work for 7 years, and that was the dowry. And that was way above the normal amount for a dowry. But, you know, he did not want to lose out. And what did Laban do? He took advantage of the situation. 7 years sounds like a good deal for me. You're going to work for me for 7 years for my daughter? Awesome. And he was willing to wait before he married Rachel. 7 years, can you imagine? Here's the thing, and you know we've lost this aspect of love today. We've come up with the idea that love is just based upon feelings, but it's not. It's an act of your will. It's something you have to decide. And because love has become just a feeling, when those feelings are gone, people move on. But if it's an act of your will, if you've determine in your heart that this is the person you want to stay with for the rest of your life, you're not going to go anywhere. And for people today, how you treat the person you're dating says a lot about you. You know, feelings change, commitment doesn't. And true love waits. And if it doesn't, you know what it ends up being? And I don't want to offend anyone, but it's lust. It's not love. Love suffers long, is kind, does not envy, does not parade itself, not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. And there it is. You know, true love waits, just like God tells us. Jacob waited 7 years before he was married to Rachel, before the marriage was consummated. And now it's time for the wedding. And you can you imagine? Working 7 years, now it's time. Jacob has an idea. Laban has another idea about this. Look at verse 21. Then Jacob said to Laban, "Give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go into her." And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. Now it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to Jacob, and he went into her. And Laban gave his maid Zilpah to his daughter Leah as a maid. So it came to pass in the morning that, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, "What is this you have done to me? Was it not for Rachel that I served you? Why then have you deceived me?" You know, Jacob was kind of caught in his own deceptions. He deceived his father Isaac. He cheated his brother Esau. Laban is doing to him what he did to others. It's just like Paul said in Galatians 6:7, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." Yeah. And that's what's happening with Jacob. I think God is teaching him some lessons of faith and how sin looks on when others are doing it to you. And he didn't like it, just as Isaac and Esau didn't like what Jacob did to them. And it's interesting, instead of Laban giving Rachel as a wife to Jacob, he gives Leah. You think, well, how did Jacob miss out on that one? I mean, were his eyes that bad? Well, the wife was fully veiled, so you couldn't see her face. If it was dark out, yeah, when the marriage was consummated, the veil was taken off. But for whatever reason, he's fooled, he's deceived. And I think it's interesting that Jacob is going to the school of hard knocks. I don't know, have any of you been to the school of hard knocks and learned lessons of God? No, I've been there a lot. I go there a lot. Now, please understand, this does not justify Laban's actions, but God is going to use one schemer to teach another schemer a lesson, basically, teach Jacob. Look at verse 26. And Laban said, "It must not be done so in our country, to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week, and we will give you this one also for the service which you will serve with me still another 7 years." Then Jacob did so and fulfilled her week, so he gave him his daughter Rachel as a wife also. And Laban gave his maid Bilhah to his daughter Rachel as a maid. Then Jacob also went into Rachel, and he also loved Rachel more than Leah. And he served with Laban still another 7 years. So, you know, Laban, the schemer, he's a deceiver too, wants to look good. And he says, "Look, Jacob, this is the reason why we do it. I'm sorry you didn't know this, but that's not how we do things around here. We give our younger daughter in marriage before, or we can't give the younger daughter in marriage before we give the older one. So that's why I gave you Leah first." Was that true? I don't think that was exactly right, but, you know, he's going to let Jacob work for him another 7 years. That's a pretty good deal. 14 years of service, isn't it? And he doesn't have to pay him anything. He's just giving him his two daughters. Wow. Not a nice guy. And Jacob is still in love with Rachel. And what Laban says is, okay, fulfill her week, and then you can marry Rachel, but then you got to work for me for 7 more years. And that's what happened here. After a week, he married Rachel, and he's working 7 more years to pay that off. And think about this. He's married to two women now. He's got, he's going to have trouble down the road. What's the pattern for marriage that God established? Well, we don't have to go far. You go to the book of beginnings, the book we're in, the book of Genesis. God established it, one man to one woman. It's very simple. We've made it so complex, but God established it. And we see polygamy here. Now, don't we see a lot of polygamy in the Bible? Yeah, we do. Why don't we see God address that and say, "Hey, guys, you're not supposed to be doing that. Remember what I said in Genesis"? Because he already established it. He's already established the pattern. Now he's telling what the people of God are doing. And it's not a good thing. Just remember what Jesus said in Matthew 19. "Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female and said, 'For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh, so they are no longer two but one flesh. Therefore what God has joined together, let not man separate.'" There it is. Man and a woman. Two people becoming one in marriage. Not three or four or six or eight or ten or, you know, Solomon 700 and 300 concubines. No. And look at the problem that's already arising. Jacob loved Rachel, but he didn't love Leah. And how do you think she felt? Oh, I'm sure she felt horrible. All she wanted to do was to be loved. And all she's going to get is the physical love, as we're going to see, and not an emotional relationship. And for us today, when you think about it, and I'll hit the guys on this one, that our wife needs to feel like she is the most loved person in the world because she's the daughter of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know, it's something that, you know, I have to be constantly reminded of because I can get busy and, you know, I can work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And we always had, my wife and I always had a Friday as our date day. And things got busy. My wife had surgery, and then, you know, I'm not blaming her. Then I just got busy. And I was working on the date day, and we weren't having it. And it was affecting her. And she finally, I thank God she's, you know, lets me know what I'm doing wrong. She goes, you know, we don't go out anymore. And it really hit me. And, you know, one of the things she was concerned about was, you know, what's going to happen? What if you died? We don't get to spend any time together and you're gone. I thought, okay, well, we're going to go on vacation. We're going to get time alone together, and we're going to have our date days on Friday. And I've been pretty consistent with that because it's important. You know, your spouse needs to feel that they are the most important person in the world, and I think that's important. Here in this marriage relationship, married to two women, he loves one more than the other, and that's a huge problem. Verse 31 here in Genesis 29. When the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, literally hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. Can you imagine that? And now here's the other thing that we have to remember. Was Leah aware of the plot to deceive Jacob? Of course, she was involved in it. But I don't think it was part of her plan. I think this was her father Laban's plan. She was just involved in it. And she couldn't expose it because that would have made Laban very angry and really disgraced before the people. And so Leah was basically a pawn used in this deception, and God comes to her aid and opens her womb, and Rachel's womb is closed. And God's going to minister her, even though Jacob, her husband, should have been doing that very thing. Verse 32 says, so Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Reuben, for she said, the Lord has surely looked on my affliction. Now, therefore, my husband will love me. Wow. Did you see that? I've had a child. I've had a son. Now he's going to love me. You could just feel her pain, right? She is so excited to have a child with Jacob, but he's not going to love her any more than he did before because he loves Rachel. He'll have sex with her, but he won't love her. You know, when God works in a situation, it's not just on one person, it's on all the people involved. And that's what we see here. And here she conceives. Leah conceives, and she has a son, calls his name Reuben, which means behold a son. And the sad thing, you know, oh, now my husband will love me. No. Look at verse 33. Then she conceived again and bore a son and said, because the Lord has heard that I am unloved, he has therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. So the second son is Simeon. She's hoping, it means hearing. And she's hoping that he will see that God has heard her prayers, blessed her, and Jacob again would love her now. But again, it's not going to happen. Verse 34, she conceived again and bore a son and said, now this time my husband will become attached to me because I have borne him three sons. Therefore, his name was called Levi. Levi's name means attached. And you could just feel her pain. All she wants is her husband to love her. And he doesn't. You know, it's interesting. Women want to be loved, to be cared for. They want that emotional attachment. Men, doesn't really matter to them. And I'll show you. This was from way back in 1995. I'm sure the statistics are worse now, but I couldn't find any updates on it. But here was a question that was asked men. Have you ever had sex with a woman you have actively disliked? And the response for men was that 58% of them said yes. No emotional attachment. That's not love, that's lust. See, there is the problem today. How sad. Verse 35. And she conceived again and bore a son and said, now I will praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah. Then she stopped bearing. So Judah means praise. It's kind of interesting because I think at this point, and she's going to struggle again, but her focus now isn't upon herself and what she's missing. She's going to praise the Lord. So it's going to be the Lord who she's focused on. God has given her these children. She's going to praise him in spite of the situation she's in. And I think that's a great one for us. You know, can we take our eyes off of what we don't have and praise the Lord for the blessings he has bestowed upon us? Because he wants us to. You know, even in our toughest circumstances, we have to get our eyes off of people and get them on our God and let it give birth to praise. Wherever your focus is, and our focus needs to be on the Lord so we can praise him. And it's kind of interesting. The two greatest tribes of Israel were not born to Rachel, but to Leah. Levi, the priestly tribe, Judah. Who comes from Judah? The Messiah, Jesus does. Isn't that interesting? We may not think too highly of ourselves, you know, and think that God could use us or whatever. And it doesn't matter, you know, how ugly you think you are, or how uneducated you think you are, or unworthy you think you are, or unqualified you think you are. Here's the amazing thing about our God. He sees us as beautiful, and he's going to do great things in us and through us for his glory. That's the amazing thing about our God. He uses nobodies. And that's what the way Leah felt, that she was a nobody. But God, look at how God used her. You know, remember 2 Chronicles 16:9? We're told the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. God is looking for people to work through. He's not looking for people that think they're so amazing that God has to use them. He's looking for people who see themselves as nobodies but love him, and he's going to use them. All we have to do is step forward. Well, look at Genesis chapter 30, verse 1. Now when Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said to Jacob, "Give me children or else I die." And Jacob's anger was aroused against Rachel, and he said, "Am I in the place of God who has withheld from you the fruit of the womb?" So she said, "Here is my maid Bilhah. Go into her, and she will bear a child on my knees, that I also may have children by her." Then she gave him Bilhah, her maid, as wife, and Jacob went into her. Now, both Rachel and Leah are two women that are dissatisfied with their positions in life. Rachel was, you know, if I only can have a son. Leah, if I only could be as beautiful as Rachel. And they weren't looking to God. Yeah, there are times that Leah's looking to God, but we're going to see that there's still going to be some struggles as we read on. It's easy to covet what others have instead of being satisfied in what the Lord has given to you. I love what David said in Psalm 17, verse 15. "As for me, I will see your face in righteousness, and I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness." He wasn't interested in gaining wealth or possessions or things. His whole desire was his fellowship with God, to one day awake in his presence. That's where David found true satisfaction. And guys, that's where we find true satisfaction. It's going to be in the Lord, because everything else is going to wither away, fall apart, be stolen, rust, whatever. But the Lord is always there. And so Rachel is upset with Leah. She's upset with Jacob. She's upset with God. And what does she say? "Give me children lest I die." It's always, I think, been about Rachel. And now when she could not bear a child, it wasn't all about her. And she's angry. And Jacob, I don't know why he would say something like, what does he do? "Hey, don't blame me. God's the one that withheld the children from you. It's his fault." Yeah, I bet she felt real good after that, huh? Those are comforting words. I don't think so. What's interesting is because she's barren, instead of bringing her to the Lord, what does she do? She comes up with her own plan now, right? "Oh, have my maidservant, Bilhah. You go into her and have a child with her, and that child then will be mine." Kind of a surrogate mother. And the flesh never solves our problems. It's always God that does. This messes things up. Look at verse 5. "And Bilhah conceived and bore Jacob a son. Then Rachel said, 'God has judged my case, and he has also heard my voice and given me a son.' Therefore she called his name Dan." So Dan means judgment. And I think Rachel is kind of throwing this child in the face of Leah, saying, you know, God has vindicated her. You thought you were, you know, having all these kids. Now, look, I have one, too. I think she was very envious of her sister, and this is vindication to her. Barnhouse kind of put it like this. I thought it was kind of interesting. He said, can a woman get so low that she will hit her sister over the head with a baby? Rachel did. Yeah, I think that's kind of the idea here. Look at verse 7 here in Genesis 30. And Rachel's maid Bilhah conceived again and bore Jacob a second son. Then Rachel said, with great wrestlings I have wrestled with my sister, and indeed I have prevailed. So she called his name Naphtali. So Naphtali means wrestle. I think the idea is that Rachel is wrestling with Leah. It's a great struggle, and she's the one who's victorious now. Well, Leah had four sons so far. Rachel only has two sons, and these two sons came from her maidservant, Bilhah. Maybe she's just poking fun at Leah because she's stopped having children now. I don't know. But there is this bitter struggle, this competition between the two sisters. And envy is very ugly. You know, God says, crucify the flesh. And that envy comes right from the flesh because it destroys us and it hurts others. And look at verse 9. When Leah saw that she had stopped bearing, she took Zilpah, her maid, and gave her to Jacob as a wife. And Leah's maid Zilpah bore Jacob a son. Then Leah said, a troop comes. So she called his name Gad. And verse 12, and Leah's maid Zilpah bore Jacob a second son. Then Leah said, I am happy, for the daughters will call me blessed. So she called his name Asher. Now, Leah's not having kids anymore, right? So what does she do? Hey, Rachel's having them. I got to do something here. We're going to give Zilpah to Jacob to bear children for me. And she conceives, gives Leah two more sons. This is not a healthy competition, guys. Leah's one of the sons born to Zilpah was Gad. It means troop or good fortune. The other is Asher, means happy. And again, this is all about Leah and her power struggle that's going on between her and her sister Rachel. And yeah, you know, she had brought praise to the Lord, but all this other stuff just overwhelmed her life so much that the Lord got put on the back burner, and she's now doing this struggle with her sister and using these children basically as pawns. And she says, you know what? I'm happy, for the daughters will call me blessed. People will see me. They'll say, oh, look at, she's blessed. Look at all the children she has. I'm praising the Lord to this. Not good. Well, look at what happens in verse 14. Now Reuben went in the days of wheat harvest and found mandrakes in the field and brought them to his mother Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, please give me some of your son's mandrakes. But she said to her, is it a small matter that you have taken away my husband? Would you take away my son's mandrakes also? And Rachel said, therefore, he will lie with you tonight for your son's mandrakes. When Jacob came out of the field in the evening, Leah went out to meet him and said, you must come in to me, for I have surely hired you with my son's mandrakes. And he lay with her that night. And God listened to Leah, and she conceived and bore Jacob a fifth son. Leah said, God has given me my hire, because I have given my maid to my husband. So he called his name Issachar. Wow, what a bizarre story, right? You go, what in the world? I mean, how much does Jacob love Leah? Doesn't look like at all. She's paying him to have sex, basically, with her. And here we see one of Leah's sons, Reuben, is out in the field. He could be like 7 years old or something right now. And he finds some mandrakes. And Rachel hears of this, makes a deal with Leah that Jacob will have sexual relations with her if she would give Rachel the mandrakes. What is a mandrake? Well, the root in the Hebrew is called love apples. Many believed it was an aphrodisiac. Some believed it increased a woman's chances of getting pregnant and make her more fertile. So Rachel wanted more children, and she wanted a child of her own, not one through a surrogate or her maid. And here was the opportunity. I don't think this was anything more than superstition. It says that God opens and closes the womb. I'm not sure there's a whole lot with that, but not a good situation. And here's Jacob, supposed to be what? The spiritual leader of the family. And it looks like he's going from one wife to the next wife to the not having sex and not really loving anyone but Rachel. And they all knew it. Not good as a godly man. You know, Barnhouse said, is it any wonder that this family had a history of strife and bloodshed? Children reflect the atmosphere of the home. Yeah, I'm sure they knew the tensions that were going on. So this fifth son born to Leah, she calls Issachar. It means reward or mine for hire.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word? Come and join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.